I don't know why I didn't try the Lord many years ago. It would have saved me so much misery. My foolish mind couldn't find what it was really looking for. Now it's a good life living for the Lord.
It's a Good Life, a program brought to you by Lewis Woodard Ministries of Fruitland Park, Florida. I'm your speaker, Lewis Woodard. Let me invite you to stay with me for these next few minutes for Bible study, fellowship, and prayer. Why? Because it's a good life. Remember now, as you look at 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 8 and 9, you're looking at your duties as a Christian regarding Satan. You're to be sober, you're to be vigilant, you're to be serious, and understand that the devil is real. You're to be on guard, vigilant, and this is an alarm that goes out. It's sounded. Notice in verse 8 there, it talks about the adversary, God's enemy, the devil. And the devil means slanderer. Satan means the accuser. The Bible says he's the accuser of the brethren, but he's real. He's going about today, and verse 8 tells us what he's doing. He's walking around like a wild animal. He's searching for someone to destroy. And that's all he wants to do. He wants to destroy men and women. He wants as many people to go to hell as possible. He wants people to go to hell. And we as Christians, we need to be alarmed at this. And we need to understand that he is real. And that we need to understand he is our adversary. He is a slanderer. He's going to confront you. He's going to tell you that you're no good, that you're not saved as a Christian. And so many people today think they have to be saved over and over and over again. But the Bible says if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. 1 John 1:9. And that's speaking to a Christian, a person who's already saved. If something has happened in your life to just knock you down, you need to get up and you need to keep going for the Lord. You should not quit, but you should serve God. That's a trick of the devil for a saved person to think that they're lost after they've been saved. Jesus only died once. He's not going to die again. He says, I'm saving you one time forever. The Bible says that those people who trust him as Savior have eternal life, and no man is able to pluck them out of his Father's hand. So when you get saved, you just need to understand you're saved. You're saved forever. And if this hurts your feelings, you need to get things right with God. You need to understand that God's word is true. The Bible says, let God be true and every man a liar. When man tells you that you're saved today and lost tomorrow, if you do something wrong, if you sin, I'm not telling you it's right to sin. I'm telling you that God says that he saves sinners. Paul the Apostle said he was chief of sinners. Do you think Paul the Apostle was saved? Of course he was saved. He said he was chief of sinners. He's saved. He's in heaven now, according to the Word of God. And if you've named the name of Christ, you too will be with Paul the Apostle one day. You'll be with the Lord because you have named Jesus Christ as your Savior. Nothing is able to separate you from the love of God, according to the Word of God. But your adversary is walking around today. He's accusing people today. He's destroying the people of this world, taking as many people as he can to hell. And he's got God's people confused, thinking that they are of no good to the Lord because they've done something wrong, they've gotten out of the will of God, and they've thrown up their hands and they say, it's no use. I'm finished. I cannot serve God from this point. Well, that's a lie of the devil, and I believe that's what it's pointing to here as well. The devil is a slanderer. He will tell you all kinds of things to keep you from serving our Lord. Remember, he's walking around like a wild animal. He's searching for someone to destroy. And also in verse 9, it talks about what else to do concerning our adversary, the devil. We're to oppose him. We're to resist him. And we're to maintain, we're to be unwavering. We're to be steadfast in the faith, knowing that you're saved, knowing your way to heaven by faith. And verse 9 tells us also that you are not alone as a Christian. Christians are affected by the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Christians are affected by the name of the devil. Christians are affected by the same devil, according to verse 12 of chapter 4. It says, "Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial, which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened unto you." We all get tried. As a Christian, we're all tried. We're all sifted. That means that the devil tries us. Once again, he's a slanderer, and he wants to accuse us. He wants to get us to a point in our lives as a saved person to think that we cannot be of use to God any longer, and that is a lie, and that is a trick of the devil. We're to serve God. As long as we're on this earth, we're to tell other people about Jesus Christ. Well, notice with me now in verses 10 through 14 of 1 Peter chapter 5, we see the concluding remarks of Peter here. Verses 10 and 11 says, "But the God of all grace, who hath called us unto his eternal glory of Christ Jesus, after that ye have suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, settle you. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen." Well, this is a closing prayer of Peter. And it talks about God's grace. God is the God of all grace. He gives more grace according to James chapter 4 and verse 6. He's the God of comfort according to 2 Corinthians 1:3. He's the God of peace according to Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 20. And he's the God of hope according to Romans chapter 15 and verse 13. He's the God of grace. And notice in verse 10 there it says, "But the God of all grace, who hath called us unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, named, after that ye have suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen you, settle you." We've been named Christians. We're called Christians, Christ-like, and we're to be Christ-like. Why? Because of Jesus, according to that verse. We share his eternal glory, his eternal life, never ending. And we also understand that suffering leads to perfection, stability, and rest. And that word settle means rest. We can rest in the Lord once we get in our hearts and in our minds and our souls understanding that we're saved forever. Verse 11 says, "To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen." This is to God, to the God of grace, be exalted. This is his glory. Exaltation. That's his glory. Never-ending authority. Dominion. It talks about in that verse. Dominion over everything. He has dominion over everything. He is the creator. He spoke this world into existence. He is the creator. He has dominion over everything. I don't care what it is, this universe, everything, he has authority. Well, notice in verses 12 through 14 now, the closing greetings here. "By Silvanus, a faithful brother unto you," I suppose I have written briefly, "exhorting and testifying that this is the true grace of God wherein you stand." Well, Silvanus in verse 12 there, Silvanus is, it could be a scribe, it could be someone. Peter wrote this, and Peter was the one who God spoke to. But this Silvanus could have been one that was used of the Lord to help Peter write. In other words, Peter told him to pen down what God had given him, and it was placed into the Word of God. And notice the word delivers possibly means pen down the letter, the epistle to the churches, and he's consistently loyal. He was a faithful brother. And then in verse 12, we also see the purpose of the epistle is to strongly urge or to exhort, to bear witness, to testify that you are able to stand by the true grace of God when resisting the devil and in suffering. It's only through the grace of God that we're able to resist the devil. It's only through the grace of God that we're able to suffer for our Lord and Savior. 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 13, it says, "To the church that is at Babylon, elected together with you, saluteth you, and so doth Marcus, my son." Well, this is speaking of those who send salutations. It was the church at Babylon and John Mark. John Mark was Peter's son in the faith, and he received much of the information for his gospel from Peter. Acts chapter 12 and verse 12 says, "And when he had considered the thing, he came to the house of Mary, the mother of John, whose surname was Mark, where many were gathered together praying. Acts chapter 12 and verse 25 says, "And Barnabas and Saul returned from Jerusalem when they had fulfilled their ministry and took with them John, whose surname was Mark." And then in Acts 15:37 it says, "And Barnabas determined to take with them John, whose surname was Mark." Mark was certainly used of God. He was a child of God, and Peter treated him as a brother in Christ and as one who was faithful. In 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 14, the Bible says, "Greet you one another with a kiss of charity. Peace be with you all that are in Christ Jesus. Amen." Well, this is a final charge given by Peter in verse 14 here. He says, greet one another with a kiss of love. You know, I've got to be careful with this. I think that we need to understand that during the day and time we live in, we've got to be careful who we kiss. And this is something that we just need to pray about and understand that it's a kiss of charity. And I've seen people kiss each other as unto the Lord. And this is something that you and I need to be careful with, a kiss of love. That means not only a physical kiss, but that means to love people, just love them, not only the brethren, but to love each other in this world, the people of this world, love them to the Lord. Verse 14 also talks about praying for freedom, for peace, for all who are saved. We're to pray for our brothers and sisters in Christ. We know people who are suffering, who are being persecuted for the Lord. We need to pray for those individuals. You know, we're one of them. We need to understand that we will be called to suffer one day, possibly. Maybe not as much as some who are giving their lives for the Lord. Or those who are being beaten today are beheaded for our Lord, and that's happening throughout the world. We don't hear a lot about that. But we need to realize that as we pray for them, that we're doing it out of love. We need to love them and pray that God would uphold them and give them the courage that they need to stand for Him. And as we do that, He gives us courage to stand, because persecution will come someday for us. We will be persecuted for the Lord, and we need to stand strong. Understand that the devil wants to destroy us and defeat us. But by the grace of God, we are who we are, and that is, we are saved by the grace of God. And one day we're going to see Jesus Christ personally. We're going to see the Father, and we can say, "Lord, I love you," in person. If you do not know the Lord today as your Savior, may I invite you to do so right now. Ask Him, "Lord, come into my heart. Save me for Jesus' sake. Save me, Lord, through the blood of Christ."
You've been listening to It's a Good Life. To request a free transcript of this program, you can write to Dr. Woodard at 497 Judith Avenue, Fruitland Park, Florida, 34731. That address, once again, is Dr. Lewis Woodard, 497 Judith Avenue, Fruitland Park, Florida, 34731. You may also visit our websites, lrwm.org, or itsagoodliferadio.com. Until the next time, this is Doug Anderson reminding you, it's a good life living for the Lord. May the Lord bless you richly is our prayer.